It's always a special privilege and delight when I'm given a passage to preach from, as I have been today. And it's really quite a long time since I preached from the feeding of the 5,000. And I have been so blessed. We've been up in Scotland for most of the last week. Our youngest is at university in Glasgow. And I've just had this scripture with me all the time. And the big question is, how many loaves do you have? That's the title. How many loaves do you have? Brilliant question. Don't you love the word of God? I just love it more and more. It's so funny, isn't it? Here's Jesus, who's really clever and really bright and a great ministry going. He said, it's his idea. He says to his disciples, let's get away from it all. You know, we've had too many people. It's been too pressed and pressurized. Come on, let's go away to a quiet place. Bless. Goes across the lake. Well, if you've ever been to the Sea of Galilee, everything you see, everything you do can be seen by others. It's a substantial lake. Having just been up to the lochs of Scotland, it's a substantial lake, but you can always see to the other side. So they cross the lake, and of course people swarm towards them. Huge, thousands upon thousands of people join them. So Jesus' plan for a quiet time doesn't quite work out. I love, so they get the other side, all the people are there to greet them. Jesus, bless, he looks at them and has compassion on them because they are like sheep without a shepherd. What a wonderful response. It seems to me probably the response of the disciples was unprintable and it hasn't been printed. But I mean, they're trying to get away from it all. They want to get away from all these wretched people, all their demands and but Jesus looks at them with compassion, and he teaches them. Then the disciples, isn't it great? It's just great, a great story. The disciples think, well, this is our moment to get rid of them. So they come to Jesus and say, this is a very remote place, and it's already very late. Send the people away. This is their vision. Get rid of them. We don't want these wretched people. They get in the way, and we can't have our quiet time. You've all felt like that, probably. So Jesus, and you can feel, can't you? Here's the rabbi teaching his disciples. They're thinking and this whole story is about human worldly thinking. Do you know, we can all do it. And then Jesus' spiritual thinking. Okay, so they're thinking still, get rid of these people, let them buy something to eat in the countryside, you've sorted that problem. Jesus says to them, the rabbi challenges them. You give them something to eat. They're thinking, help me. They said to him, and forgive me. I don't know the Dickens well here, but we've had lovely meetings together, so don't think I'm saying anything rude about them. But I feel I'm suddenly in a Dickens meeting where somebody says, Jesus challenges them, and they've got a good worldly answer. Oh, but that would take 8 months of a man's wages. You know, a good, reasonable, thoughtful response. We can't possibly do that. It's ridiculous. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? You've got to get this clash of thinking, okay? Worldly thinking, ordinary thinking, thinking we do every day, and spiritual thinking. Jesus, the rabbi, trying to teach them things. They're going to learn some lessons from this. He doesn't give up. He says, well, how many loaves do you have? Now, they say, this is a complete joke. You know, how many loaves do you eat? Go and see Jesus. And they come back with the result. We've got, remember, 5,000 men. We know that from later. We've got 5,000 men. We don't bother to count. These are not PC days. We don't count the women and children. There may be 10,000 people out there overall, and they've got, we celebrate, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And you can see these sort of the deacon's conversation. Well, it doesn't. Well, how we can do? Well, it's, you know, even if we send everybody out and multiply, but you know, and you can feel the thing. Jesus then just sort of leaves that conversation. It is funny. You're allowed to laugh. It's a, don't have to, but I think it is funny. Because Jesus then leaves all that to one side. Okay, he's challenged them. He's really pushed them hard. He then organizes them into groups of 50 and 100. Here's the significant thing. Because we agree with the disciples. five loaves and two fish is just a joke. It's just ridiculous if you've got these thousands of people to feed. What Jesus does was he doesn't push those ridiculous little lunch to one side. He takes it and he blesses it. He affirms it and feeds everyone the 12 baskets left over. This is deep teaching, folks. This is so exciting. The first thing I hear from this, how many loaves do you have, is that God wants partnership with us. What Jesus could have done, you know, he felt compassion for his people, he did his bit of teaching, he could have gone straight into the miracle, couldn't he? He could have said, he would have known the disciples were out of their depth. He could have gone straight to the miracle, done that, sorted them, then they could go home with their, you know, their spirits filled and with their bodies filled as well. But he doesn't. He challenges them. How many loaves do you have? That is to say, Jesus wants to have a partnership with us. God could do here in Eastleigh all that he wants to do without us. He could do that. It's God. But he chooses to do it with us. That's the point. I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. And I love the way in which right from the beginning of the Bible, it's about God saying, I want to live in partnership with men and women. It's tough. They're argumentative. They're often unfaithful. They often don't get it. But I'm going to persist with them. I'm going to keep with them. That's the story of the Bible. Thank God for the honesty of the Bible. Don't you love it? You know, it's not a story of one success story of faith after another. It's absolutely not that. It's the opposite of that. It's a people who struggle to have faith, who find it difficult to know what on earth God's going on about and what he wants them to do and how to do it, and they don't want to be obedient anyway. That's the honest story of the Bible. And then, so read it, delight in it. Thank God for the honesty of it. And then we come to the New Testament and we meet God loving mankind so much, loving the world so much, that he sends his Son into the world. Why? So that we can have partnership with him. Jesus calls disciples. Why? So that he can have partners. He can start to show what it means to live in partnership with him. And he ends his ministry by saying, go and make loads more. It's all about partnership. Such a privilege to be here on your big day, Costi. It means a lot to me. Because this is all about partnership. It's all about celebrating what God wants to do with you and me. He could do it without us. Sure, he could do without us, but he chooses not to. He chooses to live and work in partnership with us. Can I ask you today, as you've seen the testimony practically expressed, dramatically expressed, of Costi saying that he chooses to live for God, can I just ask you where you're at today? Are you living in partnership with God? The majority of you, I don't know. I hope I'll get to know many of you through the months. But I don't know the majority of you, so I just want to ask you all, are you living in partnership with God? I'm not asking. Didn't ask, if you heard. Do you come to church? Haven't asked that one. I'm saying, do you live in partnership with God? Day by day, in your family, in your place of work, in your leisure pursuits, in the way in which you use the internet. Are you living in partnership with God? God calls you to be partners. He doesn't force it on you. But are you choosing God today? Are you choosing to live for him? Can we be absolutely clear? And thank you, Toby, so much for your clear introduction to this. Baptism is about beginnings. In welcoming Costi to this step, we're welcoming somebody who said, I want to live for Jesus. It's not a badge of maturity. It's not saying we've come to a certain level or we, you know, chair three committees of the church or something. We've had a number of years behind. We're saying we've started. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were baptized. Incredible. We know that was the first. Most of them would have heard of any of this stuff. They just said, we turn to Jesus. We want to be partners. maybe today, maybe this is brand new to you, I don't know. And you're thinking, yeah, today, yeah, I'd like to do that. I want to live for Jesus. I want to know my sins are forgiven. I want to know that I'm going to live the rest of my life with Jesus with some real purpose and then share eternity with him. I want that. If you're in that moment and saying, I want to do that, I want to be a partner, then this is for you. God's saying, you're welcome. For those of you who've walked the journey for a long time, maybe today you just need to reaffirm your partnership. We're going to come to the Lord's table. We've got everything in this service. We're coming to the Lord's table in a few minutes' time. For each of us, an opportunity to say, Lord, I reaffirm my partnership with you. We're not perfect, folks. We haven't arrived. There is still much in our lives that is not quite in line with what God would want. I'm not asking, are you perfect? I'm asking, are you willing to be in partnership with God? So that's isn't that exciting? That's the first point. That's the first thing that I hear God saying to us. The second is this. How many loaves do you have? What I love about this, and you've just got a picture of me driving around over the last week up in Scotland by the locks and all the rest of it, enjoying this question. How many loaves have you got? The point is this. God values what we've got on our hands. He could look at what we've got in our hands as he heard about the 5 loaves and 2 fish and laughed. Ridiculous. What's the point of that? How's anybody going to be helped by 5 loaves and 2 fish? How simply ridiculous. But he doesn't. He takes and values and blesses the 5 loaves and 2 fish that are put into his hands. I want to affirm this, friends. God has put stuff in your hands. You've got loaves in your hands. You've got gifts that God has given to you. You've got gifts of all sorts of different kinds. You've got gifts of resources, gifts of money, gifts of experience, spiritual gifts that God has given to you to build the church. He's put gifts. You've got loaves in your hands, all of you. Because I've been a minister for a few years, I know absolutely what happens in this moment. It's not a prophetic gift, it's just obvious. I know what happens. It's this, that people become suddenly incredibly humble. They say, oh, no, I can't. Oh, I can't do anything. Oh, no. It wouldn't happen in Eastleigh, but everywhere else it happens, I tell you. Oh, no, I couldn't. You know, oh, the band, they're fantastic, but I can't play the guitar. You know, and Sue, she's so bold and strong and clear and leading us in which we could never do that, you know. And we tend to put ourselves down and just list all the things we can't do. I want you to hear this from the Word of God. You are gifted. Whoever you are, you are gifted. You may say, well, it's nothing very important. Don't you dare say a gift that God has given you is not very important. What right do you have to say to the living God that something he's put in your hands is not important just because it's not public? Because people don't celebrate it and it doesn't, you know, doesn't have lights around it. God has given you gifts. You've got loaves in your hands. Please hear that, folks. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I come back to this time and time again because we just need to. And I love the way in which Paul, who I think we normally don't think of as being of much of a pastor, I think we wouldn't go to him for pastoral advice, but actually he's very sophisticated in his understanding of how people tick. Get this. The body, this is 1 Corinthians 12:14. Now the body is not made up of one part but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that's that inferiority complex coming out, isn't it? Because I'm not a hand. You know, hands are really useful, and they can do so many clever things, and they can play the piano, and I'm a foot. I can't play the piano. Do you know? Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. Stuff of nonsense. You're a foot. You can't walk anywhere without it. You know, I mean, you are absolutely crucial to the body. Do you hear the point, friends? You are gifted, whoever you are. You're a gifted person. A little thing I like, whenever I get to meet a group of Christians, I like them to hear this, and so you're going to hear it, whether you like it or not. You have no choice. You're sitting there. Five things to do if you don't know what your gift is, because I know there's going to be somebody there saying, well, I don't know what my gift is. It's fine. Stick with me. You'll know in a moment. If you don't know what your gift is, this is what you do. Point one, you thank God for your gift. You say, you weren't listening. I've just said, I don't know what my gift is. Aha. But we know from the word of God, you've got a gift. So if you're mathematically inclined, call it gift X, you know? So in this prayer, you're going to say, you don't know what it is. I'm accepting that. So, dear Lord, thank you so much for my gift X and for your graciousness in giving me this amazing gift X. Okay? The second part, you're only going to get there by five. The second part is to ask God what it is. God is not a God who plays tricks with us. God wants us to know what gift he's given to us, okay? So first we said, thank you, God, for it. We start brightly and expectantly. Secondly, we ask him what on earth it is, okay? Third, you open your eyes. None of this is difficult. You open your eyes. You look around you. You look at what's actually happening in your life. And you find that actually God uses you time and time again to listen to other people's needs. You're a good listener. Many people get stuck at that point because they say, oh, but I didn't want that result. That's boring. I want to really excite. I want to learn I'm a fantastic guitarist. I want to learn I'm an amazing preacher. Open your eyes. See what God is actually using you to do at the moment, because he is using you. Fourthly, talk to others. If you really are stuck on this and you really can't work out what your gift, you talk to other people. I've done this exercise with so many people. People who said, oh, I don't know what my gift is. You know, you talk to a few people who know you well. I've actually never come to a point where I've met with a group of people who are unable to tell that person what their gift is, because other people know. They can see. You're such an encourager. Oh, I didn't want that result. You know, oh, you're... Other people will know. That's fourth. Fifthly, use it. Even if you're only half sure what it is, use it. Because this gift business is dynamic. It's not something you put on the mantelpiece. Ba-dum, that's my spiritual gift. It's something you use. And as you use your gift dynamically by his spirit, God is able to shape it into the gift he wants it to be for you. I guess this is quite big for me, to be honest, because I live with a mother. She died just over a year ago. But she would be the person who would always say, oh, I can't do this and I can't do that. And her father, different age and all that, had a whole list of things which women don't do. They don't drive. They don't lead things. You know, it was a different world, we understand. But she would be the first to say, oh, I can't do that. I could never do a reading in public. Ridiculous, you know, but she couldn't. She was convinced the whole pile of things she couldn't do. But boy, could she encourage. Could she encourage? I met one of our ministers a little while ago, and he said, Jonathan, do you know how I started coming to church? No, I didn't know the story. I did know that he came from the same town as me, from Southend in Essex. And he told me this story. He's a policeman. His wife, Maureen, went to church, but he didn't. He's a man's man. He's a policeman. He didn't. Hey, God, you know, soft. That's the softer end. Maureen likes it. It's all right. Don't object. She was really keen, Maureen, to get her husband to go to church. And he finally capitulated, and he said he would come to a Christmas service. But he said, if there's any funny business, I'm out. You know? He sat at the back, thought that would be all right, pew at the time. He sat in pew, and his story is that he started one end of the back pew. It's a long pew. And somebody, soon after he arrived, said, sorry, you're sitting in my seat, could you? And he remembers wiggling up a little bit to the next position. And then somebody else said, I'm sorry, you're sitting in my seat. And his recollection is that it's happened three times, and he ended up the other end of this long pew. My mother saw all of this happen. At the end of the service, she went up to him and said, Jerry, it's wonderful to see you. We're absolutely delighted you've come. I saw what happened at the beginning of the service, she said, and I'm really sorry because we're delighted to see you. Hope you feel really welcome. And Jerry will say, my mother's words of encouragement made it right. And he came back some more. And not long after, he became a Christian. And not very long after that, he felt the call to ministry and has ministered effectively in our denomination for a number of years. But it was all because of encouragement. And my mother would say, oh, it's nothing. It's not nothing. If God has given you a gift, use it, whatever it is. If you don't know what it is, take seriously the points I gave you. Thank God for it. Ask him what it is. Open your eyes. Look around you. Talk to other people. Start using it, even if you're not quite sure that you got it right. I really think these things could set us free. So, how many loaves do you have? You've got loaves. You've got blessings, folks. I don't know what they are. But you've got all sorts of blessings that God has put into your hands, which he is calling you to use. Okay, final step. Brilliant step. Jesus takes the five loaves and the two fish. He prays before God. He prays for blessing. And a miracle happens. And what happens is just enough to blow your mind, isn't it? 5,000 men and all the others are well fed. There's loads left over. It's fantastic. And I want you to hear this. As you put your little gifts, as you might think of them, your five loaves and two fish into the hands of God, you need to expect miracles. You need to expect that God will take your little. God will take your humble little gifts. And he will do something which is unimaginably greater than anything you could have thought up yourself. That's the nature of God. It's very easy in the life of a church, isn't it, to feel very small. Eastleigh Borough, 130,000 people, a lot of people. You know, we're a tiny, tiny, tiny proportion of that. And God has commissioned you with all the other wonderful churches around. Praise God. But to be salt and light in this community, you think, oh, God, you know, how many people we've got? What's our income for the year? Blah, 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 blah. Put it in the hands of God and let's stand back and see him do miracles. How will that happen? How will that happen? It will happen by us changing our way of thinking. Moving from that, do you remember? The disciples' way of thinking, oh, get rid of these people. You know, just they need to be fed. We haven't got money. 8 months' wages to feed them. Just a joke. You can't do it. We've got to move from that worldly thinking, which says, oh, it's all too difficult. You know, 130,000 people living in Eastleigh. There's only us, a couple of hundred. Oh, never do that. You know, we've got to move from that worldly thinking to say, we're putting ourselves in the hands of God. We must not put any limits on what he can achieve. He will do what he pleases. How's that going to happen? I'll tell you how it's going to happen. It's going to happen by us being more and more open to God. It's going to happen through prayer. Prayer's always been at the heart of my ministry. Absolutely always been. But I've become more passionate about prayer as time's gone on, to be honest. Because I know it all depends on prayer. It all depends on prayer. Take this in the best way. Bother the finance. Bother the buildings. Bother all the... You know, they are important. They're part of what God has given to you. But more important than anything else by far is us being a people of prayer, of us being a people who are open to God, a people who are ready to receive his blessings. I hope you're in good rhythms of prayer. If you don't use anything to stimulate daily reflection and daily time with God, do take one of these Voice with Hopes. Premier Radio, Premier Media, is one of the Christian charities I do work with, and they produce this. It's absolutely free. There are copies as you go out. If you don't use anything else, please take one. If you do use something else, it's brilliant. Feel free to take one of these and give it to somebody else to encourage them to pray. We need to be in good rhythms of opening God's word and praying, because everything we do depends on prayer. As we look for a new minister, and I'm really excited to be with you on that journey. God has somebody set apart for this role, sure of that. But as we go on this journey, it's not like making a normal worldly appointment. It's not like that. It's about us seeking the Lord and saying, Holy Spirit, where would you lead us on this one? What's your purpose? What's your desire for us? Friends, there's a picture in my mind. I don't do pictures in a big way. Picture in my mind that the Lord gave me as I drove down this morning, and it was that we need to come to him with open hands. That's how we need to come. We need to come saying, Lord, take the little we've got, but would you do a miracle? And we're ready to receive whatever you choose to put in our hands. Friends, be excited by the word of God. Be excited by the fact that God wants to work in partnership with us, that he's willing, he wants to take hold of our loaves, our little fish. He wants to take what we've got and use them to his glory. And let's be faithful to him in expecting him to do miracles amongst us. Amen.